Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new EAN European Academy of Neurology podcast. And this series will be about coma and disorders of consciousness. And this is the first episode. My name is Rolf Fronsek. I'm a neurologist and somnologist from Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands. And we're here today with Professor Rita Formisano. She's from Rome, Italy. She's director of the post-coma unit of the Neurorehabilitation Hospital and Research Institute Santa Lucia in Rome, Italy. And she's also president of the Italian Society of High Specialty Rehabilitation. And she was the former chair of the Coma and Disorders of Consciousness panel of the EAN. And I'm here together with my fellow moderator, Nicolas Lejeune, and he will introduce himself now.
Hi, thank you, Rolf. I'm very pleased to be here and to meet you. So I'm a neurologist and I'm a head of Disorder of Consciousness Care Unit in Belgium, the William Lennox Rehabilitation Center. And I'm also a postdoctoral fellow at the Coma Science Group in Liège. My focus of interest is mainly the pain assessment in patients with disorder of consciousness. So I'm very happy to discuss this topic with my colleague, Rita. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let me start with the first question then. I'm into sleep, somnologist. It's a little bit, well, explain, I think this coma is not exactly the same as disorders of consciousness. So maybe we can start very basic. Can you maybe tell us what your research and your clinic is about and what kind of problems you would like to address now?
Yes, thank you. I would like to focus on my topic, which will be the pain assessment and management in patients with disorder of consciousness. And this story started some years ago when we published a first monocentric study. So in Santa Lucia Foundation, after our experience in Santa Lucia Foundation, on the use of the nociception coma scale with the personalized painful stimulation versus standard stimulus in non-communicative patients with disorders of consciousness. So the nociception coma scale and its revised form have been proposed to assess nociception in coma survivors with disorder of consciousness. This tool was proposed by Caroline Schnackers, and 2 years later, Châtel et al. Other colleagues proposed the same scale without the visual response item with the same efficacy of these tools. The aim of our monocentric study was to compare in non-communicative patients with disorder of consciousness the results and the scores obtained with the standard pressure on fingernail bed, which is the standard stimulus, the standard painful stimulus, versus personalized painful stimuli, as indicated by professionals and caregivers involved in the care and rehabilitation of our patients with disorder of consciousness. And we measured the responsiveness to painful stimulus with the Italian version of nociception coma scale revised. So we enrolled 21 patients admitted to post-acute rehabilitation after severe acquired brain injury with vegetative state or unresponsive wakefulness syndrome and minimally conscious state, and responsiveness and pain perception were assessed respectively by coma recovery scale revised and nociception coma scale revised, either with the standard stimulus and personalized stimulation at admission and discharge at our post-coma unit, which is a post-intensive, a post-acute neurorehabilitation unit for severe acquired brain injury, especially with disorder of consciousness. In our results, results of the preliminary monocentric study, nociception coma scale revised at admission showed that 9 of 21 patients, which corresponded to around 43% of the population, the total population, had higher scores in response to personalized stimulus compared to the standard stimulus. So the main source of the personalized stimulus was for example, the head mobilization or also hand opening or also the mobilization of upper or lower limbs. In our results, in 13 patients among the total the whole population of 21 patients, in 30 patients, a personalized stimulus could be identified. And among these, 9 patients had the higher score at the nociception coma scale with personalized stimulus in comparison with the standard stimulus, which corresponded to 69% of the subgroup of patients where a personalized stimulus was identified, and which consisted also in around 43% of the entire group. In this population of patients, there was also a nice correlation between the nociception coma scale revised with the standard stimulus and personalized stimulus with the coma recovery scale revised. So that means that the responsiveness to pain may be in parallel, may evolve in parallel with the responsiveness to painful stimulation. So in conclusion, in our monocentric study, our preliminary results obtained suggest that nociception coma scale revised with personalized stimulus may disclose pain perception in a larger number of non-communicative patients with disorder of consciousness compared with the standard stimulus. I would suggest also to have a look to an editorial I published together with Nathan Zasler, which is the past president of the International Brain Injury Association, on brain sciences, which is a review, a narrative literature review on pain in persons with disorder of consciousness, where also some pain management techniques, including non-pharmacological and pharmacological approach, have been reviewed. And now the ongoing study on pain responsiveness in patients with disorder of consciousness, we launched a few years ago, an international multicentric study with the nociception coma scale revised with the personalized painful stimulation on behalf of the International Brain Injury Association Disorder of Consciousness Special Interest Group. The participating centers are Santa Lucia Foundation, Don Gnocchi Foundation, Coma Science Group, NISA Hospital Valencia in Spain, and Santa Viola Hospital. So up to now, we enrolled 31 patients admitted to post-acute rehabilitation after severe acquired brain injury with disorder of consciousness. And responsiveness, again, and pain perception were assessed respectively by coma recovery scale revised and nociception coma scale revised with standard stimulus and personalized stimulation at admission and discharge. Statistical analysis included assessment of the comparison between nociception coma scale scores with the standard and personalized stimulus with the assessment by two speech therapists in blind. So we also assessed the and intra-rater reliability of our tools. So in the preliminary results are that in 23 patients, which consists of around 74% of the whole population, a personalized stimulus could be identified. The two raters in blind differed just for one patient about the possibility of identifying the personalized stimulus, and for both the raters, no difference in motor responses were noted between personalized stimulus and standard stimulus. The mean score of nociception coma scale revised averaged between the two raters was significantly higher for a personalized stimulus than standard stimulus for verbal responses, and close to significant level for motor and facial responses. As for the inter-rater reliability, the level of reliability between the two raters was for motor responses and facial expression 74% for standard stimulus and 78% for personalized stimulus, and for verbal responses 100% in both the stimuli. As for the correlation between nociception coma scale revised and the coma recovery scale revised, correlations between nociception coma scale revised scores and coma recovery scale revised scores assessed at baseline resulted highly significant for motor scores, both with the personalized stimulus and standard stimulus, close to significant level for facial score for personalized stimulus, but not for standard stimulus, whereas no correlation were found for verbal responses scores and coma recovery scale responses. Again, I would have pleasure to show you two videos where it was evident how different was the responses to painful standard stimulation in a patient in minimally conscious state, and with the different and much higher reactions and responses with the personalized painful stimulation. Which are our future direction? So the use of personalized painful stimulus seems to be reliable and could be used at least when no response is obtained with the standard painful stimulation. The ongoing international multi-center study on behalf of the IBIA DOCs group may confirm the utility of a personalized painful stimulation. Some ethical final considerations. So the ethical debates regarding the clinical and clinical legal aspects of the assessment and treatment of persons with a disorder of consciousness have not evolved in parallel with our advances in the specific clinical assessment and the use of diagnostic advanced techniques, either neurophysiological or neuroimaging approach and treatment. As for the caregivers, we should underline that families and caregivers are often worried about the possibility that their loved one is in pain or suffering, and yet we as clinicians cannot provide the definitive answers in response to this concern. So in conclusion, a focused and customized bedside neurological and neurobehavioral examination should be advocated for to enhance our our ability to opine on patients' pain perception capacities, improve the differential diagnosis of the specific disorder of consciousness, and guide patient-specific management as well as family education and support.
Thank you, Rita, for this presentation. So I had a few questions in mind, and I would like to ask you about the personalized stimulus. What were actually these personalized stimuli, and did you maybe check where did they come from? Was it always linked to some spasticity in this patient, or did you identify any other condition?
Yes, Nicholas, thank you for your question, because this is the main point of this study, because all people who are engaged in the assessment and rehabilitation of patients with disorders of consciousness knows how different may be the patients. They may have, for example, severe and diffuse spasticity. They may have also a hypoesthesia or anesthesia because of, for example, neuropathic pain, critical illness, polyneuropathy, and the sources of pain may be completely different in the different patients. For example, how we looked for the personalized stimulus. We asked not only the physical therapists, but also the caregivers, so the relatives, the main caregivers, when they have the feeling that the patient is perceiving pain, which maneuvers, for example, of the nurses also were able to elicit pain. And we choose the personalized pain only when we were able to have some reaction after the mobilization, for example, of one hand or of an upper limb or a lower limb. And you are completely right. Generally, there is an association with the severe spasticity or also nociceptive pain if the patient have, for example, thalamic lesions or if they have neuroperipheral deficits like in critical illness polyneuropathy, more recently defined as ICU acquired weakness.
No, I was just wondering also maybe again a more basic question. As a neurologist, you mentioned that it's important when examining a patient, like a bedside advice, like that you gave the advice that you have to be careful and do a good physical examination, neurological examination to assess if there is pain. But can you give maybe some practical advice that we can all use in our daily clinic for this?
Yes, my advice is to evaluate the patients during when the patient is still in bed or in his chair without receiving any stimulation, because I give you some examples. Sometimes you have the feeling that the patient is answering you by closure of the eyelids, and if you examine the patient during a resting period, you may see that this closure of the eyelids generally are spontaneous without any required from the examiner. So my advice is to observe the patient during when the patient is still without receiving any other tactile or also acoustic stimulation or also any other order or commands, because otherwise you may confound the responses between the reactive responses or intentional responses. And this is not very easy in some patients to differentiate between them.
Thank you, Rita. So I would like to have your opinion about the assessment of neuropathic pain in this population. So as you know, of course, this patient has severe and extensive brain lesions. It's not rare that there are polytraumatized patients with also peripheral neuropathic pain possibly. And of course, the treatment is very different between nociceptive and neuropathic pain. So how do you manage to identify this kind of neuropathic pain? And maybe if there's no answer or no clear answer, what could be the directions to have a better assessment of this kind of pain?
So I generally suggest to all my patients at admission in our post-coma unit to perform an electromyography and electroneurography at all four limbs. Not only, but also the somatosensory evoked potentials may help us in the differential diagnosis. And in my experience, it's not so true that the treatment is completely different in the management of pain in our patients. I, for example, in my experience, I generally start with some anticonvulsant, anti-epileptic drugs. For example, one of my favorite may be also clonazepam, which, as you know, is a benzodiazepine, as well as I use also lamotrigine, for example, which is useful also as a mood stabilizer. And you know how often we have behavioral disorders in the first phase of in the first phases of awakenings, and but one of the first drugs I use are the GABAergic drugs, so gabapentin and pregabalin, which in my experience give not so many side effects if you titrated the drug gradually, if you increase the dosage very gradually. And these drugs may also help our patients in some psychomotor agitation if they have restlessness, for example. I think that it's not so true that you should use different drugs for different pain sources. Only, of course, when you have some orthopedic complications like heterotopic ossifications, of course, I use indomethacin, which is, as you know, an anti-inflammatory drug with a specific function on reduction of devolution of heterotopic drugs. But generally, I use different approaches. As I told you, not only GABAergic drugs, but also mood stabilizer, anti-epileptic drugs, and few benzodiazepines, because I don't like, of course, antispastic drugs. If there is spasticity, myorelaxant, baclofen may be helpful. And in the specific situation of the topic of focal spasticity, also botulinum toxin may be helpful for pain perception, as well as for diffuse spasticity, intrathecal baclofen.
Thank you. You mentioned a lot of mainly systemic therapies and intrathecally, and you also briefly alluded to a more local treatment, because that's what actually my question. I can imagine after you say a personalized stimulus that maybe some people have, some patients have some specific pain, not general, but some localized problem. Can you mention some treatment approaches that you could use to treat these local problems?
Yes, when our patients, unfortunately, I mean the patients with disorder of consciousness, have very rarely only focal problems. This is much more frequent in stroke patients, ischemic or hemorrhagic stroke patients. But in our patients, there is a sort of discomfort, general discomfort. They are agitated, sometimes restlessness is present, sometimes they cries. Sometimes they ask continuous, or they try to come back to bed. So these are patients with a low level of collaboration, and our drugs with the systemic action may be sometimes more efficient efficacy than the local treatment with the botulinum toxin, which may help, of course, but I generally use both approaches.
Thank you, Rita. I would like to ask you about your opinion on the monitoring of the pain in this patient. It's also a very tricky question, because you stress out the importance to diagnose this painful condition in our patients. But once you did it, how do you evaluate the efficacy of your treatment? Because we conducted a small pilot study in which we compared the response to the nociception coma scale before and after an analgesic treatment versus placebo. And we found that the nociception coma scale was not so sensitive to this pain medication. So how in practice do you assess the efficacy of your treatment in our patients?
Yes, you're right, because we have in Italy, I don't know in Belgium or in other countries if it's the same, we have a law, which is the 38 law, which imposes the monitoring of pain in our patients. And of course, the difficulty is when you have patients who are not able to verbalize the severity of pain. We introduced in our clinical reports, for example, some faces with different emotions and expression in order to try to follow the differences in our patients. But as for the nociception coma scale revised, you are right, because it's very difficult to quantify the differences in reaction. It's more a scale like yes-no scale than an actual and real quantitative measure. So this is the reason why I'm proposing a personalized stimulus, and the hope could be that when the patient will able to answer you in a more functional communication way, probably we could try to parallel the face and mimic reaction and expressions with what the patient would be able to verbalize when you ask them how severe is their pain perception.
Professor Farmisano, thank you so much for all this these insights, and drawing our attention to the importance of how to deal with pain in this patient group. I can understand this, it can be really difficult, but also very rewarding if this goes well. So thank you. And also thank you all listeners. Thank you, Nicolas, for being here with me. And we hope that you will listen to us again in our second episode in this series. So thank you, and hear you next time.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.